Pope Benedict clearly is attached to his roots. When he went to Poland recently, he went to the late Pope John Paul II's hometown, and he quoted from Goethe, saying that to understand a man, you have to go to his hometown. He himself is going to his hometown. As a fellow Bavarian, how do you read into this?
I think Bavarians are really attached to their home country and to their roots. It's the same for myself. I grew up in the countryside, in the western part of Bavaria. And I must say, if I wouldn't have grown up in that part, I couldn't do my job nowadays.
Why is that?
I would say it has given me a feeling for people with whom I lived, and now also to understand people. And I was completely socialized in the religious, social community of my hometown. So I grew up, religion was nothing strange to me. It belonged to everyday life. And this is surely the same for the Holy Father. He grew up also in the countryside, and he grew up near Altötting. It's one of the biggest pilgrimage places of Our Lady in the whole of Europe. So this has given you, for your whole life, a basic formation. Like forming coins, would say you are shaped for your whole lifetime. And the first years you are growing up, we all know that they are so important. The Pope has always kept close relations, not only to his hometown, but to the whole of Bavaria, especially to his students of Regensburg when he was professor there. And, by the way, he did his private retreats every year in a Benedictine monastery. And Bavaria is a Benedictine country.
The Benedictine formation was important in particular in terms of his love of liturgy, no? Would you say that?
Yes, because the center of our Benedictine life is liturgy, the service to God, and it's not only that. I think it's also the way of the Benedictine discretion, not to fall into extremes, but to respect the human person in his individuality or her individuality. Saint Benedict has given us a form of a relaxed living together. He has given us the rule. And I would say this kind of discretion, of not overdoing things, not stressing too much, but respecting also human frailties, it's the character of the whole of Bavaria, I would say. Because if you look back to Bavarian history, it was formed by many Benedictine monasteries. If you look at the map of the 9th century, Bavaria was full of monasteries, bigger ones and smaller ones. And even at the time of the secularization in 1802 or 03, when when practically all of the Benedictine monasteries were cancelled, the whole social system broke down and the educational system broke down, because the Benedictines had the schools and many employees in their monasteries, so that the Bavarian king, after a while, when he had closed down the monasteries, he told his minister of culture, "I think we have slaughtered the wrong pig." And he himself established again Benedictine monasteries. And up to now, the Bavarian Benedictine monasteries, there are about 17, I think. Most of them are running schools, and a number of people in public services have grown up in Benedictine schools. So they are most influential on our social life and indirectly also the political life.
So would you say Bavaria the Catholic as opposed to the rest of Germany?
The northern part of Bavaria around Nuremberg is very Protestant. But that doesn't mean that they are less Christian as the Catholics are. I would say Bavarian is a Christian country, at least still it is.
A very striking trait of Pope Benedict during the first part of his pontificate was to talk about joy all the time. He tends to drum in on the very positive aspects of the faith. He doesn't want the widespread opinion that the Catholic faith is about prohibitions. Do you think it comes from this very solid country sort of background of his?
I would say so, because in Bavaria, we have unfolded in the Baroque times the beautiful, we have built the beautiful churches, or I have to take into consideration also Austria, because it's more or less the same culture. It's a culture of joy. You see it in art, in these beautiful churches of Baroque and Rococo. It's much more, much finer, and I would say much more joyful than the Italian Baroque, for example. Although the Baroque has come from Italy. And if you think of Mozart, Schubert, and these composers with their beautiful masses. The whole music, it's a way really of joy, and therefore if you look to Bavaria also nowadays, there are so many brass bands, folk music. Bavaria somehow is a singing country, and music is a language of your heart, and where you express, of course, not only joy, but also your sorrows and everything. But at least you let it out. And in this regard, I think Benedict XVI is very much formed also by this kind of culture of mentality. Whereas in Germany, usually we have the impression that the church is an institution. And as soon as you think of an institution, there are prohibitions and laws you have to fulfill and so on. So this gives a rather dark impression also of the church. The church is an institution like a party or a club or something, and where you have to follow rules and things. But it's not, first of all, the place of hope, of joy, of praying and singing together, of experiencing the ecclesiastical communion. And I see in his pontificate that he stresses very much that our God is not a bookkeeper to look after your sins, but first of all, a merciful, loving God.
The God with the human face, as he said recently in an interview. Which are the places of major importance, do you think, in this journey?
Of course, he is going to Munich. He was Archbishop of Munich for some time at least. In the center of Munich, you find a column of Our Lady. And she's called Patrona Bavaria, the patron of Bavaria. The Bavarian kings have dedicated Bavaria to Our Lady. And this shapes still the whole popular religiosity of the people. And they feel under the umbrella or the cape, or how do you say, the mantle of Our Lady. They feel protected and they feel well. So he starts there from the column. And he also had left there, so he goes also back to his roots in this regard. The other place, of course, then is Altötting.
Which is also a Marian shrine. No?
It's a Marian shrine. I think it's the sixth biggest one in Europe. I myself, for example, started with a group of legionaries of Mary. When I was a student, we started a pilgrimage by foot from Munich to Altötting. It was a pilgrimage of 3 days of singing together, praying together. It's a special experience. And so there are many people coming to this shrine in their sorrows, and they are carrying around the shrine the cross. And of course, it's very popular, but it's also deep in their heart. So he goes there. It's also part of his roots, I would say. And then he goes to Regensburg, where he has worked as a professor, and he is in best memories there. Whenever he came back, also as prefect of the Congregation of Faith, he went to Regensburg and to meet with his former students.
Apart from his stature as a professor, as a very personal pope that the people at large are interested in, it's the man who has a brother, who has a house, who was born somewhere.
Yeah, and he shows very much now the pastoral side of his new office, I would say, of his new task or his new service, and he speaks about God in a very beautiful way, and he tries to tell people that God is a loving God who wants to save this world. Nevertheless, he sticks to the basic Catholic truth, I would say, like the truth about family. He doesn't neglect the truth by no means, and he doesn't relativize it.
His motto when he became a bishop, I think, was co-workers of the truth. It seems to mark the connection between his previous task as a teacher and his new mission.
Yeah, in all his homilies and speeches, he gives a new color, I would call it. It's the color of a human face. And he himself also is not the big showman, because it's not his charisma, I would say. But he remains behind his office, and in this regard, he appears very humble. And I think that's one of the things why people like him so much.
There's a sort of shyness about him, isn't there?
Yes, it's kind of shyness, and he has now to appear in public, although he would most probably prefer to sit in a room and study. But he has taken the job, and he is accomplishing his duties, and also to be present among people. Of course, you will never turn him to a showmaster. I don't like to call his predecessor a showmaster, but he came from the theater, so he was easy in handling all these things, whereas Benedict XVI, I think he had still to learn quite a bit, and but he does it well, there is no doubt.
If you had to define in just a sentence his pontificate up till now, how would you do that? Difficult question.
A very difficult question. I would say he has astonished people, especially because he shows the face of the loving God, also himself. He points always to the face of God in Jesus Christ, but he himself also tries to show this face of God.
He's not going to anywhere Benedictine, is he?
He's not going to any Benedictine monastery. I think he has to take care of all the religious, not just of the Benedictines. I'm very happy that he made a Salesian as Secretary of State. I think we all have to work together, all the religious. Up to Vatican II, we were more perhaps in competition, but now we see us in a complementary way. And Benedictines are monks, they are rooted in the everyday religious life. They are not specialized. They are doing a lot of things, but they are not specialized for some special purpose. But they try to live out the gospel in community, under the rule and an abbot. And this has given the whole Occident a special way of Christianity. It's living out the gospel. And therefore he points out, of course, from time to time, to the rule of Saint Benedict and the Benedictine tradition, or the importance of the Benedictines in European history.
Fidelia omnia mandata illus, confirmata in saeculum saeculi, acta in veritate et equitate.